Good morning to one and all. To continue with the last broadcast on the message to the churches, let me repeat the scripture. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of hidden manna, and will give him a white stone, and in the stone a new name written, which no man knoweth, saving he that receiveth it. Revelation 2:17. Let me assure you that all down through the ages, since the coming of grace by Christ, there is an abundance of grace for everyone who will pay the price to go through for God. Each can be a winner, but there's also a solemn warning to all. Listen, the breakers are ahead. Friend sailor, does the balmy breeze now softly fan life's silent seas, a gentle calm instead of frowning skies and boisterous waves, when king of tempest madly raves, the breakers are ahead. Your little bark so softly glides o'er rising and departing tides, no thought of danger now. The sky so red assures you well, no rising surfs around you swell, no frown upon your brow. Thus cradled on the rocking deep, so recklessly you fall asleep, without a sigh or care, without preparing for the storm, no thought of danger or of harm, without an uttered prayer. Thus on life's vast unfathomed sea, where every human form must be, are multitudes asleep. Without provision, on they sail, all warnings are of no avail, they slumber on the deep. The sinner, with his hardened heart, without a compass or a chart, is drifting to and fro, but fast the current bears him on to broad seas with landmarks gone, but where he does not know. Ah, sinner friend, the trackless sea no place of safety has for thee. The breakers are ahead. Now fast the darksome clouds of sin to burst forth in the tempest's din are gathering o'er thy head. The night is coming by and by. No light shall pierce the sable sky, no guiding star so fair. But falsely shall thy fleeting bark be guided in the awful dark to regions of despair. Dashed by the breakers you shall fall, not one to hear your wailing call or lend a helping hand. Too late, you've reached the other shore, where darkness reigns forevermore, a desert home and land. Take warning then, and heed the guide who every rock and wave has tried and wills to see you through. He bids the raging storms be still, the waves and winds obey his will. He's calling now to you. Friends, just think of all the dangers we might be spared if we gave heed to the warnings of the Lord. We are continuing to deal with the seven churches of Asia Minor and the messages the Lord sent through the Apostle John to the isle, on the Isle of Patmos. I want to give you a little more of a historical record and what happened to each of these congregations. Previously, we looked at Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamos, Thyatira, and just briefly Sardis. God, through the Spirit, commended those which were steadfast and gave a call to repentance to those who were slipping and had lost their first love. The call went out to Sardis, be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die, for I have not found thy works perfect before God. They were told to remember therefore how thou hast received and heard and hold fast and repent. So they also needed repentance anew. Listen again. Thou hast a few names, even in Sardis, which have not defiled their garments. In the report of Lindsay, he wrote that he was deeply disappointed at the statement I received there of the Church of Sardis. I trusted that in its utmost trials, it would not have suffered to perish utterly, and I heard with surprise that not a vestige of it remained. With what satisfaction, then, did I find on the plains of Sardis a small church establishment. The few Christians who dwell around modern Sardis were anxious to settle there and erect a church, as they were in the habit of meeting at each other's houses for the exercise of religion. About 5 years ago, they built a church upon the plain within view of ancient Sardis. The place has gradually risen into a little village now called Tartakeni. He reported there was this small congregation of about 40. Also, I cannot repeat the expression of gratitude with which they received a copy of the New Testament in a language with which they were familiar. End of quote. More recent information informs us that Sardis was the ancient capital of Lydia on the river Pactolus. Under the Persians, it was a magnificent city on the commercial route from Asia to Europe, but the glory of Sardis has departed. Next, we come to Philadelphia, which is no longer known by this name, but now it is Al-Ashir. Lindsay wrote in his report, and I quote, "It was gratifying to find at last some surviving fruits of early zeal, and here at least, whatever may be the loss of the spirit of Christianity, there is still the form of a Christian church. This has been kept from the hour of temptation which came upon all the Christian world. There are here about 1,000 Christians, chiefly Greeks, who for the most part speak only Turkish." End of quote. Of course, we know that God is looking for more than a form of religion. He's looking for the saints to worship him in spirit and in truth. But the message God gave to Philadelphia was, "Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. For thou hast a little strength, and hast kept my word, and hast not defiled my name. Again, because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth." So indeed, God has preserved in this city of Al-Ashir, formerly Philadelphia, some believers which Lindsay reported received the Greek Testament with great thankfulness. It is a place of some importance, carrying on a thriving trade by caravans, chiefly with Smyrna. The last of the seven churches of Asia Minor is that of the Laodiceans. Let us hear the warning given to this church. "I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked." Revelation 3:15-17. It seems from history accounts that God really did spew the Laodiceans out of his mouth. For Lindsay's report says, and I quote, "Eschihisar, close to which are the remains of ancient Laodicea, contains about 50 poor inhabitants, in which number are about two Christians, who live together in a small mill. Unhappily, neither could read at all. The copy, therefore, of the New Testament, which I intended for this church, I left with that of Denizli, the offspring and poor remains of Laodicea and Colossae. The prayers of the mosque are the only prayers which are heard near the ruins of Laodicea, on which the threat seems to have been fully executed in its utter rejection as a church." Let us take a lesson from the warnings given to each of these ancient churches. The people and cities had their opportunities, and so do we. Now, we see the judgments of the Lord, such as Jesus spoke against the holy city. "O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them which are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathers her chickens under her wings, and ye would not? Behold, your house is left unto you desolate." Matthew 23:37-38. "How desolate must be the fields which have once received the truth, then turned back unto their former ways of sin. And how desolate are the souls once redeemed, who have gone back and followed the Lord no more." Listen to Peter's admonition. For if, after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse with them than the beginning. For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after they have known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. But it is happened unto them according to the true proverb, the dog is turned to his own vomit again, and the sow that was washed to her wallowing in the mire. 2 Peter 2:20-22. Jeremiah lamented the condition of those who had turned from the Lord in his day. Yea, the stork in the heaven knoweth her appointed times, and the turtle and the crane and the swallow observe the time of their coming, but my people know not the judgment of the Lord. Jeremiah 8:7-8. I love the promise given to the church of Pergamos. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the hidden manna, and will give him a white stone, and in the stone a new name written, which no man knoweth, saving he that receiveth it. Revelation 2:17. It seems that some of the ancients had a custom, when one wanted to bind their friendship to another, they would take a stone, cut it in half, each inscribe their name on one piece, and then exchange pieces. In this way, a permanent friendship and pledge was given to the other. This is so true with our pledge to the Lord. We're bound in an everlasting covenant to him and can claim all the good promises of the Father. I'm so glad that he is mine and I'm his. If you have not made this covenant with him, do so this very moment. Our Father, we ask now that you would take the words of the message and make them a blessing to the listeners and readers. Awaken the ones who sleep the sleep of death. Encourage each believer to hold fast to the promises, and thine shall be the praise through Christ. Amen. Thank you, dear ones, for a few moments of your time. Do be with us again next week. Same time, same station. And if we may be of some help to you in a spiritual way, be sure to let us know. Until we meet again, this is Willie Murphy saying God bless and keep you always. And a very cheerful goodbye.